Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey and I'm bringing you my second programme, Connecting the Light. I would firstly like to thank those of you who kindly sent me emails of appreciation following the first programme. Thank you very much. And I will straight away get ahead by coming to the first item, which is a review of Sheldon Neidl's weekly message. Messages that come through the spiritual hierarchy and the Galactic Federation. The messages have been excellent lately, very informative about what is going on down here on the planet. And they tell us that the process for governmental changes that have been described in earlier messages continues to move forward. And right now, the final steps in what is to them a highly detailed and involved procedure is nearly over, and that the remaining pieces of the puzzle are assembled and await these final and most crucial legal manoeuvres. He says that we, meaning the Galactic Federation, have used this remaining time to assure our Earth allies and put our requisite personnel on standby and position our ships for the preliminary first contact scenario. All is ready for the last element to click into place. Now, that's got to be wonderful news. It sounds so near that one cannot help but feel that something must occur before the end of the year. I hope so. It would be a wonderful event if all of this started to click into place before the Christmas period. Sheldon's message goes on to say that one of the present misconceptions of our science is how the sun interacts with our many sister worlds, and he says that the exchange is in effect more spiritual in nature than physical. At each moment, our sun sends Mother Earth a series of energy messages, and these determine the nature of the solar system's electromagnetic web that keeps each component healthy and in contact with each other. He mentions other things concerned with gravitational energy and talks of invisible energy packets of which we are unaware, and says that all in nature, including you, is connected, and this is mirrored even in the tiniest fragment of the atom. He goes on to talk about the changes and considering the horrors of war and climatic devastation as merely signs that a turn to the light is in effect. They are confusing paradoxes on the road to the most desirable destination, troubling way stations that are actually heralds of exciting changes just around the bend. He says, your reality is at a divine crossroads. She is moving through vestiges of an old, familiar world and approaching the bridge to a new land, a heavenly wonderland that is strange and yet filled with riches and joys that many of you were forced to give up in childhood. He mentions first contact, which will present us with a strange new world view. And he says many of you have a few mental images, but to actually experience these new perceptions at first hand is quite another matter. The plan has progressed on an innumerable number of levels over the past 8 centuries. The purpose was to move the dark into a position where the requisite change became inevitable. And that's quite amazing, mention of progress having taken place over such a long period. It clearly means that this planned end time has been building up over many centuries, but I guess we wouldn't have much indication of that unless we looked at history perhaps with a different eye. He says, now the final elements are coming into view, and with them your victory becomes truly inevitable. I will say that the spiritual hierarchy and Galactic Federation have been very strong in their assurances of our victory coming along. And I think that's very reassuring. He says, events now underway will bring down this last dark cabal in a legal and forthright manner. And I think that is something we had anticipated now for quite some time, particularly since they said that they would prefer us, the people of Earth, to bring this about through our own actions. They do have a divine decree to, shall we say, interfere if that proves necessary. But I feel that is a last resort. But it is nice to know that if events didn't work out quite as foreseen, that they could come and put them onto the right path. He says, to conclude the points I'm picking out, that your world will change. Things that now seem set in concrete will eventually disappear. Recognize that it is you and your fellows that are the true foot soldiers in this quiet revolution. This revolution of your belt and shown, right political action and the divine intervention are intended for your benefit. These magnificent energies are to restore your freedoms and ensure your unalienable sovereignty. Moreover, they will end your long quarantine from your space family. It is abundantly obvious that the time for our joint celebration is very near. Now, I think that's a very wonderful, uplifting and reassuring message. Now, next to considering Sheldon's messages as 100% reliable, I would say there is only one other site, to my knowledge, that comes anywhere near that degree of reliability. And that is Matthew's messages, which come through Susanna Ward. They come out periodically, usually about once a month. And they are always very topical, and they touch on matters that are perhaps dear to us at this time. So what I would like to do here is a similar thing, simply to go through and pick out some of what I think are the main highlights. Matthew has mentioned about bird flu, which is very much in the news at the moment. And he confirms, as some others have suspected, that it came out of a laboratory. And like SARS, was also neutralized by ET technology. You may recall that when SARS came out first, there were the same fears that it would spread worldwide, in very much in the way in which they're now talking of avian bird flu. But it is assuring to know that ET technology will not allow it to have the sort of devastating effects that we're certainly hearing in our press here in Great Britain. Matthew says, do not feel any fear about it whatsoever. Focus on being healthy. And here he's confirming to us the power of our own thought. And it's been said many times, and it is surely true, that what you fear, you attract to yourself. Matthew says, send light to those of the dark. And indeed, many times in earlier messages from other sources, we have been told to send them love. Send them compassion, because any other energies, particularly those of the negative, are not helping the light. These souls, although they may be lost in the dark for the time being, can still recover. And if we send them love and compassion, we are helping to ensure that the dark is gradually diminished. Now, Matthew refers to official murmurs about the resignation of Bush and other administration principals and comments on them becoming louder. Who knows, when the indictments get very near, we may see perhaps one or two heads roll. He mentions that Tom DeLay has been indicted, which of course we are aware, and that there are lawsuits going through over presidential electoral fraud. He says there is a growing demand from us for the truth, and I think this was always foreseen as something that would occur in these end times. There are energies with us where we seem to have opened up the Pandora's box of the dark, and we want to know what the truth is behind many things that have happened in our time. Matthew says that within a few years, and in my interpretation that means 2 to 3 years, the earth's restoration to her original paradise self will be accomplished. Now, that's interesting information, because that means that in that short time, not only will we have seen the end of the dark cabal, but we will have gone on very quickly to establish the cleansing of the earth, and as he has said, to find it restored to its original paradise self. And that will then leave a number of years through which I'm sure we will be helped to raise our consciousness in ready for the final ascension. Matthew mentions that the earth still has to release millennia of accumulated negativity. And until then, earthquakes and so forth will occur and only stop when the job is done. He mentions that time is passing faster and faster, and says that 2012 will be upon you sooner than you can imagine. Now, that date seems to come up many, many times, and it is certainly recognized in many quarters as the year in which the end of this particular cycle will take place. Matthew mentions that we are moving towards fourth density, and indeed, I think some people are already aware of the changes in themselves as their vibrations are increasing. There is mention of revelations about the deceit that has long controlled life on earth since it started. And Matthew acknowledges that changes in perspective means the foundation of people's beliefs will crumble. And he says, feel compassion for these people, but mainly provide a gentle safe haven for their questioning. Rely on your intuition for all the best responses. I must say, when one feels aware of the position we're in and what is happening, it is rather difficult to place yourself in that of one who has possibly little or no knowledge at all. And it doesn't take much imagination to realize what a shock the truth will be to their system. And the point is that once it starts to come out, it will come out very quickly. So we can bear that in mind, and I recall in one of my own messages of recent time, it was indicated that we should start speaking with other people, start telling our truth as we see it, and possibly that is part of this change that we're being asked to take part in. Matthew goes on to talk about the re-education for young people, and he talks of one group with very young ones who will be learning the truth instead of falsehoods, of another group which we will call teenagers, who would welcome the knowing that there is a future plan for Earth. And he talks of replacing textbooks, and he says new ones will be issued expeditiously, and teachers are being prepared to lecture in conjunction with computerized lessons. One can only guess at what sort of computer technology we're talking about when it comes from the ETs. And one news item he mentioned, which is good to hear, is that all manner of disease will be eliminated in the higher density where Earth is going. I think, again, that is generally understood and accepted. No defects or imperfections can exist in those higher vibrations. Now, in general terms, Matthew spoke on a few subjects in a way to give us guidance. And he was saying to people that because of the toxic content in inoculations, that they should accept no more of any kind. And he suggests choosing an alternative care provider. He asked us to consider gold, which is a little known but valuable brain enhancer, and choose the finest quality in capsule or powder form. He mentions taking a healthy and balanced diet. Well, I think we've been told to do that for many a year now. And he says, eliminate sodas, foods with artificial sweeteners or other chemical additives, and processed white flours. Reduce the consumption of meat and refined sugar, and increase raw vegetables, fruit, and whole grains. And for children, he also recommends physical exercise and artistic expression in accordance with the child's age, interest, and ability. And perhaps the most important point of all for children is the need for demonstrative loving, with consistent discipline, participation in the child's activities, encouragement and compliments on progress, and clear communication. Matthew does talk about authentic autism, and he says this is quite different from the conditions that is given that diagnosis, but is actually caused by the toxic ingredients in inoculations given to infants. He says people are born with this condition, but it is not due to genetic heritage or birth injury. The soul's will, that is willpower, can overcome autism's natural resistance to emerge from its cocoon. When asked about Bush's choice for the Supreme Court, Matthew declined to comment, but did say that when the Bush administration falls, and it will, all harmful laws and unqualified people in influential positions also will be out. Very good news. He talks of the economy. One question asked whether people would survive it, and he said, yes, you definitely will survive this mess, and that there will be changes affecting banking policies, reduction or elimination of debt for individuals and nations, fair taxation and wages, social programme and job training funding, and stabilised stock markets being handled behind closed doors, so to say, and relief for financial hardships will come as soon as possible after these changes are implemented. In that, I cannot help but see the benefits of Nasara again. So it will come through in the end. I'm getting to the end now of comments on Matthew's message, and he was asked, what is the quickest and surest form of psychological therapy in healing psyches? And he said, love, the energy of love. Learn to love yourselves, moving past any guilty feelings, forgiving themselves and others of perceived wrongs is the quickest and surest treatment for psychic trauma. Therein lies the cure. I think that's wonderful. We've been told in so many, many messages about the power of love, and I think it is very potent to be told to learn to love yourselves. I think that is something perhaps that we forget, and we perhaps walk around with guilt about something and we will not forgive ourselves. We must learn to see ourselves as important as anyone else. He said the cure for all current disease afflicting Earth is love. The most powerful energy in the universe is your soul's original natural state. And that is surely a state of complete love. He says, in simplest terms, love is God sharing himself with all of his creation. Love is the healing force of the universe. Love does not judge. Forgiveness of self and others is love. So that's it. That's my comments on Matthew's message, which is always quite long and very informative. I'm coming now to one of the few comments I found in recent time about Nasara itself, and this one came through a Yahoo group. I guess I got the name right here. It's called In Discerning Angels, and it mentions that Nasara is going to happen. We expect to make the announcement any day now. The prosperity funds are being delivered, although it will take the entire weekend to begin to settle that issue. Now, this email was dated the 15th of October, so presumably that did mean the last weekend. I'm not sure whether that information is totally reliable, and we must be careful what we accept. I can only hope it is. The message goes on to talk about the Fitzgerald inquiry, and again, in this message, there is a very firm statement that the indictments will come out this week. Now, I wonder if that's possible. There is, in fact, only the following week, that is next week, remaining before Patrick Fitzgerald's term ends. So maybe there is a very limited time if it is going to happen through his inquiries, which he's been making for something like 2 years. This particular message says he will begin low and work his way up, as they describe it, the food chain. Now, I hear a rumour this week that Karl Rove will be the first one to be indicted. But it seems to me that we want to see one happen, and then we will perhaps believe that the other 18, 19 or 22 or whatever there are will follow. The message continues to say that the public's role is to open their minds and remove any doubt and fear of losing the battle. They have already won it and the changes are beginning. It moves on a bit to say that the truth is there, the money is there as far as Saint Germain has promised and described. Other reports are false. Well, indeed, I tend to go along with that. Saint Germain has said for a very long time that he made provisions and provided the funds in World Trust, which would back this new money. So I'll believe that until I see anything to the contrary from Saint Germain himself. There's been one or two messages this week about the rainbow money. It seems to have grabbed the headlines a bit. But then I think we've been brought down a little bit to earth. There was a message from Nancy from Hatton, in fact, rather stressing the need to focus on something different. We're spending perhaps too much energy on thinking about the rainbow money. And he says, and I quote, "Let's, instead of focusing our attention on the rainbow money, focus it on Wilma and dissipating her strength. Let's save some lives and homes and show the Illuminati that they're not dealing with a bunch of sheeple, but with a lot of masters who know who they are and who they are not, and not afraid to state their truth and stand up for what they know is their ability to move mountains and stop the wrath of the Illuminati." He says, "We love Gaia and we are going to help her to survive, right along with all who live on this planet." So there we are. There's a call from Hatton for us to use our energies, perhaps in a more positive way. And indeed, we come back to this matter of how powerful are we. And I do believe that if enough people can focus on Hurricane Wilma, we will dissipate a lot of the energies. As you might say, a red-hot message that came out from Nancy today from Hatton told us that he had visited the future. And I'll extract one paragraph that I think perhaps sums up his message. And he says, "You have already created that future, bright with the new golden age and ready for you to realize and live. You will live that future and you will create more of that same energy as you go forth in your truth. You will learn more about creating your reality and you will enlarge the beauty and the promise of that light built in the love and trust that represents the freedom and truth of love." I think that's very nice. It was a long message, but I think that really does sum it up. Now, I want to come to a little bit of information that I picked up about ETs. And there is a message that came through Spirit Eagle. It came this week to me, and he's talking of the current period of time through one of his ET contacts of the Pleiadian nations, a friend of his called Gondar. And he says, "I'm here with a message for the Ashtar commanders on the ground. Many of you have wondered what you are to be doing at this time to make the way smooth for the ongoing transition in your governments." And he says that what you have been doing and what you were to be doing up until now is fine, and it is time for you to connect with each other for the coming times that are upon you now. You are the leaders of the new dispensation. You are the followers no more. And he says, what is your intuitive sense telling you? Follow that. It is the goddess, God within. Make connections with each other. Converse. He talks about dropping our shield of feeling unworthy and says, be in your shining brightness of mastership. He goes on to say, have you truly understood what it means to remember your ascended mastership? Ponder this. If you truly know who you are, then nothing will stop your new world from forming according to your decree. What glorious power there is in light and love. What glorious power there is in thought. Put these three together in concentrated energy of the many, and you have the formula for the changes you wish to see on your world. But there we are. There's no doubt about it. He's reminding us that we are already masters, and with the changes that are happening, we're really finding ourselves again. He goes on to say, one more word for the commanders and ground crews. You might want to choose an area in the ongoing drama unfolding on your world. And since you are the leaders, decide where you will put your combined focus of change each day for the next 2 weeks or so. And he's asking us to meditate upon that which you wish to change by seeing the outcome in glorious full colour and light in accordance with your vision of the new world. So, the more we read of the messages, I think the more we see that there is a thread running through them, and it's asking us to increase our awareness and to know who we are, and when we do, to use the powers that we have. I'm now moving on to really just the one bit of information that I've seen about UFOs. Now, I haven't gone searching for information, no doubt I could find more. Because of the amount of work involved, I content myself with picking something out of what passes across my eyes. And the only UFO report I've seen is one from Bolivia about 5 UFOs, which were seen on Wednesday, October the 12th at 16:30 p.m. And evidently there were thousands of witnesses. 2 of the UFOs had red, green and blue lights, and 1 silvery disc with a double circumference had one which was spinning outside of the other. Now, unfortunately, there's not much information with that, at least not in the message I saw. But the reason I highlighted it is that it is not too often that you see perhaps more than the odd UFO. And when you see or get multiple sightings, and I think that makes it a lot more exciting. Now, going on to making a very quick review of my messages so far this week. And I would like to explain further to what I told you about last week as to how I prepare to take my messages, as to what actually happens when I make the contact and type them out. I've already explained how I'm sitting at my computer waiting, and I prepare myself in the correct way. And what I'm really waiting for is an indication of what the opening words are. Then once I get that, the rest of it generally flows, and I get impressions, sometimes words, and I feel it's left up to me in the main to interpret or put in my own words what is coming through. But I have to say, if I don't seem to find the right words, then I feel somehow I'm being corrected. So this is how it happens. I call that a mind-to-mind contact. And when I get near the end of the message, somehow that feeling of contact seems to disappear, and I know that we're on to the last few words to finish it up. So that's really what happens. And I still wonder each day when I prepare myself what they're going to find to talk about. But invariably, although clearly I have little idea, although I feel occasionally I do get an inkling of the subject they're going to talk about, it all seems to flow, and fortunately, when I read it afterwards, it seems to make sense. Now, in this past week, I've had one from Saint Germain and from four different people, that is ETs, who belong to the Galactic Federation. In Saint Germain's message, he spoke about the acceptance of the oneness of the human race. And this indeed was where he mentioned, as I mentioned a little earlier in the program, about stepping out and shining your light, getting together, talking about what you know about the truth and about the light. And he said, the final act has been written. The last cabal are at an end. I think, fortunately, we can see that to be the case. But it wasn't too long ago that we perhaps wouldn't have been able to agree with that so readily. A lot has happened in a very short time. I had another message from Atmos, who spoke about life in the future as being one of sharing, and reminded us that we are one family working in cooperation with each other. And I think that is also important, even here now on Earth, to see each and every one as part of ourselves. We cannot divide people up by colour, race, creed or whatever. We are all one. I then had a message from Aga Greer, who is also a guide to me, as well as being a member of the Galactic Federation, and he reminded us that the light always comes out on top, no matter how long it takes. And he said, the ending victory for the light is assured over the dark. And this is an assurance we get many, many times, and I'm pleased for that. I had the one female entity through this week, who is Diane, and she believes that the indictments will go ahead. And she talks of the ET computer technology, which can record different levels of consciousness, and said that they can register if anyone is in danger, and they can be with them in an instant. And if need be, they can move them from one location to another, and it is said that they may not even be aware of what has happened. She says they lift people off and remove their memory of it. She also refers to our own ability to carry out telepathic contact. She talks of our power of thought and reminds us that we will experience the return of our freedom, our rights, and the restoration of our sovereignty. Finally, today, I had through what you might call the one oddity, I have a being called Elar, who comes from Arcturus. The other ones with me come from Sirius. And Elar spoke of the differences we will experience in the higher dimension. This is taking us a little bit further ahead, possibly beyond the time of ascension. But it's nice to know what is different from now and what we have to look forward to. And he spoke of how our body is changing now, and that is, in time, it reached a state of perfection when we would not experience ill health or such, and we would feel free of the wielding, cumbersome physical body that we now have. He intimates that you don't realize how much weight it puts on you, so to say, until you are without it. And he quotes as a reference those people who have had out-of-the-body experiences, who obviously know exactly what it's like. Right, that's all I really want to mention about my messages. I would like to now talk about any general news items, and I'll try and keep them short and sweet so that I can get through as many as possible. But clearly the indictments are the news of the moment, and I have mentioned that Karl Rove is rumoured to be the first. Patrick Fitzgerald term ends next Friday, 28th October. And one can only assume that if the indictments haven't come out by then, that something could happen in the meantime which will forcibly remove him from his post, or another event which may result in martial law being declared, which I think would leave the inquiries in a stationary mode. But if all else fails, I do think that the ETs will operate within the divine decree they have, and they will directly come to our aid and ensure that the correct ending takes place. We are ready for the changes, I'm sure, and we're waiting very excitedly for something really concrete to happen. One of the other news items I picked up was about Alex Jones, who had a talk with Ben Livingstone, who is, or was, a weather modification expert. He has apparently proven evidence of hurricane control, which he can see because of his research and experience with cloud seeding and weather weapons, which were used in the Vietnam War. He says that even 40 years ago, hurricane control was a national priority. And he said he knows effects of Katrina could have been minimized instead of increased. And now, of course, we have Hurricane Wilma threatening. Again, it appears to be one that has been manipulated. And even experts have said it must have been upped in its intensity and strength. Although it is interesting that originally they thought the winds would be at 175 miles per hour, and now that they say they're 145 miles per hour. Can I perhaps wonder whether the ETs have already been at work? I heard a BBC World Broadcast in the week, they're very good actually, and they were talking about an interview with President Hugo Chavez, the top man in Venezuela, and it was largely around his relationship with the US, which isn't terribly good, but he did mention a few points that I thought were worth noting. He said they are the fifth largest oil deposit in the world. And they've had five democratic elections where they have all been won against the wealthy opposition that used to own the oil fields. And these people are supported in these elections by the US. I'm not going to make any comment on that. I think you can make your own conclusions. Now, getting back to the avian flu, there is a gentleman called Dr. Len Horowitz, who's done a lot of work in investigating, as before, the SARS threat and now the alien flu. And I want to read out just one paragraph. It's only a short one from an email that has been going around, and it's his commentary about alien flu. And he says, and I quote, "If avian flu becomes more than a threatened pandemic, it will have been done by political and economic design. This thesis is supported by current massive media misrepresentations. Right. Profiteering on risky and valueless vaccines, gross neglect of data evidencing earlier similar man-made fakes, including SARS, West Nile virus, AIDS, and more. Continuation of genetic studies breeding more mutant flu viruses likely to outbreak. Inside trading scandals involving pandemic-savvy White House and drug industry officials. Curious immunity of these pharmaceutical entities over the past century. The law enforcement and mainstream media scrutiny. And published official depopulation objectives. With the revelations and assertions advanced herein, the public is forewarned against this decision-assisted mass murder, best termed iatrogenocide. This genocidal imposition is expected to serve mainly economic and political depopulation objectives." And I find that last bit interesting because it was the same Dr. Len Horowitz who also did a very detailed report on the origin and the growth of the AIDS virus, which he was positive was included in injections given to the Africans for other reasons. Funnily enough, this week I also got another email about the avian flu from Dr. Tony Minervino, and he was talking about the complete solution and how to stop it. Now, it's a bit too long for me to read it out in detail, but I'll take one or two items out of it. You can always look this up on the web if you want to read more, I guess. And he's talking about information he's picked up in some cases from other sites. And there is one that mentions President Bush raises the notion of using military to quarantine areas where avian flu breaks out. That's certainly not new to me, and I have read of that one previously. Dr. Minervino goes on to say that the nasally administered flu vaccine really concerns him because just like MediImmune's existing flu mist vaccine, the nasally administered avian flu vaccine would have a 21-day shedding period during which people who have been given this vaccine can transmit the avian flu to people around them, and this is clearly calculated to trigger a pandemic. Interesting that, because I don't know whether I would have thought about that. So it rather seems as though he's suggesting you give nasally administered vaccine a miss. He's saying, here's what to do to stop this planned plunge into chaos and martial law. He said he mentions a number of things to do, and then he mentions natural means of protecting yourself and your and your family from avian flu, which the avian flu vaccines will cause. Then he mentions various items, some of which I will read out, but I'm just following his paragraphs here, and he's talking about the fraudulence of Pasteur's germ theory on which the false science of vaccination is predicted. Apparently Pasteur admitted the falsity of it. I don't know any more as to why he went ahead with it or didn't. Anyway, there is talk of natural means of protecting yourself, and he says that some of the steps are to get some litmus paper and check your pH. He says you want to maintain an alkaline level of 7 or higher by eating lots of organic fruits and vegetables, green drinks like wheatgrass juice, barley green juice, spirulina juice, etc. And he said you'll want to use the most bioavailable, most alkaline, mineralized form of vitamin C. He says you'll want to cut down on the meat intake to lower your acidity. And remember, the more alkaline you are, the more oxygen your body can absorb, which will increase your energy level and resistance to all diseases. And then on the back end of his email, he talks about various sites where you can find the items he's mentioned, like the green drinks, a lace of vitamin C, an excellent meal replacement green drink that is called Vega. He said it tastes great. He talks of lysine, which helps keep viruses from spreading in the body. Colloidal silver, one of my old favourites. He says the only colloidal silver I recommend is from Envision International, which has a unique patented delivery system. It's actually ionic silver. And he says he's been using it for years, and it will kill antibiotic-resistant staph infections, and it is an amazingly thoroughly researched product. I can vouch for that. I know animals are not human beings, but I had a cat that had the feline form of AIDS, and I found literally just a small spoonful a day in his feet actually did far more good than any antibiotics he had. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. Right, that's all I want to mention from Dr. Minervo. Another message that came through today that I couldn't help marking up a little bit to read off to you. This is rather unusual, really. And it's a report from Hector Carrion, who has found strange rumblings at the centre of our galaxy. And he's talking about a period in March this year when Scott Hyman of Sweetbriar College made a startling announcement. Dr. Hyman and his colleagues wrote in the science journal Nature that they had detected something very extraordinary at the centre of our Milky Way galaxy. They were doing some other work when they detected an intermittent signal that seemed intelligently directed. The signal consisted of five highly energetic radio emissions of equal brightness that lasted 10 minutes each and appeared every 77 minutes over a 7-hour period from September 30th to October 1st. And it says that the discovery has left Professor Scott Hyman and the entire astronomy community scratching their heads. Now, I think that's very interesting because forgetting all the evidence for UFOs and ETs, which peculiarly enough I find astronomers in the main seem to ignore, it is interesting that they look for intelligent signals coming from outer space. And here we are from the centre of our galaxy. Now, my mind says, hey, what is at the centre? There is the central sun. And wouldn't that sound possible, that from the most powerful point of our galaxy, that there is some intelligence operating and sending out messages? They may not be intended for us, but I thought that's very interesting. It's worth reading his three-page subject if you can get hold of it, because it makes very interesting reading. Now, I'm going to refer to other messages that have come along, and there's one or two that have the theme surrounding God. Now, it may not be to everybody's liking or understanding when people claim to channel God, but I always think it doesn't matter really what the name is. There are higher beings that channel through us on Earth, and the important thing is the message. Please don't throw out the message just because the name doesn't sound right. Use your own intuition. And there's a very short one from a source called Diwali, D-I-W-A-L-I, and it's only a very short paragraph, and it reads thus: entitling this work The Second Coming of Christ, I'm not referring to a literal return of Jesus to earth. 1,000 Christs sent to earth would not redeem its people unless they themselves became Christ-like by purifying and expanding their individual consciousness to receive therein the second coming of the Christ consciousness, as was manifested in Jesus. Contact with his consciousness, experienced in the ever-new joy of meditation, will be the real second coming of Christ, and it will take place right in the devotee's own consciousness. And that was said by Paramahansa Yogananda. Now, I like that. I can go along with that. I remember my original teacher said many, many years ago that the second coming of Christ would not be as we envisage. He wouldn't say actually what it was, but in more recent years it's become apparent, as per that article I read out, that we all have the capacity for becoming Christ-like ourselves. Now, I had another message from Diwali, and again he's telling us of the outcome of his talk, if you like, with God, because he sometimes asks questions. And he's saying that, what if it is true that I'm really contained in everything around you? And this is God saying this to Diwali. What if I'm really in every object and every picture of every object? What if I'm really in you? And he goes on to say, what if everything is you? Also, can you be myself in another garb? And again, what if you are really I, but in a contracted form? If that could be the case, what is there for you to do but expand to my size? And then God talks of the greatness that is the truth of you rather than the smallness of you. And it was speculated that in our greatness, we may believe we could become Christ. So I think there's some nice statements there. And really, I think what is being said is that when you answer those questions, you have to say, yes, I am part of God. I am a God. Again, I have another one which I picked up that came from Diwali. And God is saying, does it take earthquakes, hurricanes and tornadoes for you to come together in love? And have you looked at the countries involved in the recent earthquake? How they have not been able to get along, to love one another, to be peaceful? And does it take this kind of tragedy for this pattern to end, as with the tsunami, and for people to come together in love and understanding, to help one another, as if all you are one family upon earth? He goes on to say that every one of you should want for each and every soul upon this earth to live a life where there is enough food to eat and a roof over everyone's head and the necessities of life. And then finally, the rebalancing by all of what is happening on the planet in 2005 can truly make a difference as to whether this planet will even survive. It is time to be aware. It is time to share. I think survival, yes, for certain. If maybe we didn't alter our ways a little bit more, that would all be in the balance. I have another channeling which has come through God, through a beautiful source of what I've called loving, gentle messages from heaven letters. And I will again just make an appraisal of the whole message, but they're very gentle and loving. And God has said in this one, give love and more love in all circumstances. No decision needed, love. See neither deserving or undeserving. There is no situation that supersedes love. Now, I think to see neither the deserving or the undeserving around us is really a great example of how one who is giving love would see others. In other words, to see them all as one and not to see the differences. To consider the spark of God that is within each one and honour that spark. I have another message, again, from God. And this is God to Kurt. And it's come to me via Russ Michael's Michael Worldwide newsletter, which I consider to be excellent. And God was asked, what in this world is going on? And Kurt, who's questioning God, mentions one or two things. And I will pick out one or two itemized statements that I feel are worth mentioning. God says, stay away from fear. Fear has magnetic powers. By the power of fear, the world may draw what it says it would avoid. Keep your thoughts on peace. Beloved, war and fear are diseases, and they are communicable. They are communicated every day in the newspapers. And then he goes on to say, beloved son, the word tragedy does not exist in heaven. It certainly did not arise from here. It is the world that calls death devastation. Is the world, it says, it is a terrible thing. And then, for those whose lives on earth are no more, for those who lost their loved ones, and for those who lost their physical and emotional structure called home, send blessing to them. And he, for me, finally says, be easy also with the development of what you call the spiritual. It is a natural thing. It's not an organized effort. It does not require desperate measures. You and I, and all who read this, and all who don't, we are experienced in oneness. It's what we are. And indeed, on that note, I feel I will have to conclude my program. I'm getting right near the end of my allotted time. So thank you to all those who have stayed with me for the program. I hope you've enjoyed my selection of articles. I have plenty more, so if you have your own favourites and I haven't mentioned them, please don't be disappointed. Thank you again for being with me. I hope to find you all with me again next week. Many thanks. This is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. God bless you all.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.